For years now, election deniers have questioned the validity of our elections, especially when Republicans don't win. Justin Glaw is an independent journalist and the founder of American Doom, which was the first media outlet to file a motion to unseal the Justice Department affidavit that led to the FBI raid at a Fulton County, Georgia elections warehouse on January 28th. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Glaw about how election deniers might affect the midterm elections in November.
The nationalization of elections, is that even possible? I mean, states run elections, counties run elections, and the president has indicated he might want to change that system. Would he be able to do that? Or he's mentioned 15 states or 15 places, 15 states. How would he go about doing that if that's even possible to do? It seems like a complicated election system.
It is a complicated election system, and that's a really good question, and I think it's one that we're going to be, that courts are going to have to weigh in on, unfortunately, because really what I've been reporting on over the last 4 or 5 years is the ongoing phenomenon of interference in elections by acolytes of Donald Trump and election denier forces within the Republican Party and on the American right. So, you know, in a way, the nationalization has been already happening in the form of what I've taken to calling sort of like a decentralized coordination of these election denial movement type folks in advocating for a lot of policies that are, you know, various levels of voter suppression and things like that.
So they probably wouldn't need to nationalize elections if what you're saying is true, that they are making these efforts to suppress the vote and to challenge elections and to challenge voter credentials. Is that right? That they could tilt elections their way state by state, right? Which is kind of what they've tried to do anyway.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, when Donald Trump says, let's nationalize elections, the reason that I think that my focus on local election officials and state election officials and the movement of election denialism over the past several years is important and is related to what he said, is because when he says nationalize elections, what he means is what they mean also, which is effectively that no one who is not a supporter of Donald Trump and who believes fervently in the lie of widespread election fraud should be in a position of power over election administration. So he doesn't really know what he's talking about when he says nationalize elections. It's not actually possible, as you point out. The Constitution is pretty clear on that. However, it's in spirit the same thing as what a lot of the folks I've reported on. It's the same spirit that they have, which is they want a kangaroo court for elections. They want to run up and down the chain of command every facet of American elections to ensure that only their side wins.
I remember in the Bush-Gore race and in the John Kerry race, there were questions about the voting machines and flipping votes towards the Republican candidate. And now it's the opposite, right? That the Trump people are suggesting that the voting machines are rigged in favor of Democrats. Do you get that sense?
Oh, yes. Rigged in favor of them, rife with fraud, part of ongoing and past campaigns by foreign governments, all manner of conspiracy theories that you can imagine, which is why I wrote a piece in my newsletter, I don't know, last year, I guess it's already 2026, but that said that, you know, this one of these executive orders that Trump issued pretty early on in his second term was everything that the election deniers wanted, because it effectively called for a prohibition on voting machines, because the election denial movement has, you know, been saying for years now that voting machines shouldn't even exist. They want all hand count elections. They want hand marked paper ballots to be counted by hand in every single election. And that to them is this North Star of the only way out of having elections that are rife with widespread fraud.
I have heard progressive activists say that as well.
Sure. Yeah. No. And look, I mean, there are people who especially since 2020, who on the left have also been saying, you know, we should do away with these voting machines entirely. And you know, part of their argument is we're never going to get anybody to trust any election that has voting machines involved in it, whether or not there's actual fraud or hacking or anything, which in my opinion, based on the facts of my reporting and a lot of other sources, like the 60 lawsuits that Donald Trump lost in the wake of the 2020 election, there is no such thing as widespread election fraud. The voting machines are not being hacked. But yes, to your point, even some on the left have said, we need to do away with them. We need to go to all hand-marked paper ballots. It's just not really feasible, from my understanding and everything that I've read and reported on, for a country with a population as big as ours, that is not really feasible. And in fact, what we're seeing in Georgia right now is a push towards that legislatively, that there's a very important deadline coming up in July. And I won't bore you with the details of that, but essentially, you know, what will happen is if there are moves toward hand marked paper ballots and hand counts, there are going to be significant errors in counting. There's going to be all sorts of recounts. And this is all just going to feed this monster of distrust that the election denial movement sows in election results. Only of those that Republicans don't win, by the way. Let's be clear about that.
If voting machines are used by states across the country, is there a way to verify those votes? I mean, there are vote recounts. And is there a way to verify the vote other than by hand counting?
Yes. I mean, you know, there are machine recounts in Georgia in 2020. We did three hand recounts also of that year's election, which all showed, of course, that, you know, Donald Trump lost. And election deniers here, the election deniers who sit on our state election board, were pointing out that those three hand recounts had three different margins of victory for Joe Biden back in 2020. And ironically, they used that as a way to question the results of the election. Well, how can we be sure that, you know, this election was up on the up and up if there were these three different margins of victory? Simultaneously, they are clamoring for hand counts of elections. They apparently do not have the self-awareness to realize that the reason that there's three margins of victories and three hand counts is because of the significant error rate that happens when we hand count paper ballots, when we have human beings going through stacks and stacks of, in Georgia, 7 million ballots and counting them by hand. Yeah, there's going to be different counts, right? Like, that's why the machines are used. That's why they were put in place, is because they are more reliable and less susceptible to errors like that.
Any predictions on what might happen in the November midterms in terms of election charges flying back and forth?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, the good thing about the Trump administration is that they make everything pretty obvious of what they're going to do and what they're going to say. And we also have 2024 to look back on as well for evidence of what the game plan will be. But, you know, essentially, you know, what they're going to do is they are going to continue to sow distrust in elections in places like Georgia, which is why they raided the Fulton County Elections Warehouse, so that they can sift through those voluminous materials and sort of recirculate some of the claims that have been made about 2020 and fraud and ballots and all of that stuff to, you know, get everybody thinking about all of that again, you know. And so they're doing that to lay the groundwork for if Republicans lose, they can say, well, look at all these problems that we found. We had to raid Fulton County to get to the bottom of it. And then I think there's two other things, one nationally and one in Georgia, that are important to keep an eye on, which is that, you know, there is a very real possibility that Republicans in Congress don't actually want to pass the SAFE Act. What they want is they want to try to pass the SAFE Act and have it stopped by Democrats, so that they can say, Yeah. So that they can say, we tried to institute voter ID, which is everybody supports voter ID, and they're right, right? I mean, that's not what the SAVE Act is, but let's put that aside for a moment. So they can say, we wanted to support voter ID. The Democrats stopped it because they're for fraud, and therefore probably all these undocumented immigrants voted in this November election because we didn't have the SAVE Act in place, which it wouldn't be in place anyway, but it doesn't really matter, right? So they can say, we were for voter ID, a bunch of undocumented immigrants voted in November. And you're going to see a similar thing happen in Georgia with this deadline to create a new ballot system, which has to happen by July 1st. Republicans here are not going to simply create a law that narrowly focuses on that issue. Instead, they are going to try to institute hand-marked paper ballots. And then that's probably going to get vetoed by Governor Kemp. And then the Republicans in the state legislature can then say, we tried to do hand-marked paper ballots, but the rhinos, or you know, the fake Republicans, they wouldn't let us do it. So all of this is just
leading up. Governor Kemp is a pretty conservative guy, right?
He is a pretty conservative guy, but what he's not is a dyed-in-the-wool election denier who's going to throw Georgia's election system into abject chaos by trying to institute a hand count of 7 million ballots in a midterm election 4 months ahead of time, right? He's not an insane person, right? So he's not going to do that.
And then in addition to whatever the election deniers might say, there's the idea that Trump might just decide to cancel the elections.
Which I don't think that to me is not really a possibility.
If he provokes some incident, if he gets ICE, for example, to do something even more outrageous than they've done, and there's resistance, and he could say there's rioting, I have to declare martial law, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yes, that's entirely possible. I think it works better for him, though, and for Republicans to simply call the results into question, or, you know, to do something like, you know, here's another possibility that people outside of Georgia may not really realize, to do something. You know, a lot of people have been talking about, oh, what if they send ICE to the polls, you know, and that's essentially voter suppression, right? Yes, I think that's entirely possible. You know, but in Georgia, this state election board, which is run by Trump acolytes, I mean, really hardcore election denier folks, they have the legal ability to take over election administration in every county in Georgia if they feel like they have a legal argument to do so. So, you know, they could potentially do that in Fulton County, which is, of course, the most important county in Georgia, which is going to be crucial to determining the makeup of the Senate, because John Ossoff is running against, you know, Buddy Carter and some other folks. And so, like, you know, they have other paths towards direct election interference than just canceling the election. And the biggest one is just the bully pulpit of saying this thing was rigged, this thing was fraudulent. And then we potentially get into Federal Contested Elections Act stuff, and Congress technically gets to choose its own members, and all sorts of fresh, new constitutional legal ground stuff that is problematic for a lot of reasons.
Well, as Machiavelli said, democracy is a very noisy process, although he didn't necessarily say it was chaos. Anyway.
Well, it can be chaos, because it's essentially based on people acting in good faith and playing by the rules, and not even necessarily playing by the rules. I mean, lots of people don't play by the rules, but at least somewhat respecting the rules and respecting the traditions and the norms. We don't call elections into question unless there are legitimate questions about the elections. We don't do that simply because we lost, right? If we lose, we take it on the chin. We live to fight another day, and we come back and we try to win the next time, right? But, you know, a lot of these folks are sore losers, I guess, you know? I don't know what Machiavelli said about being a sore loser, so I don't know about that.
But I remember Gore back in 2000, was it? You know, he did the opposite. He's sort of like trying to be a gentleman about it. You know, he had a good case, And he could have made a big stink for a long time, but he just decided, well, for the good of the country or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly my point. You know, he said for the good of the country and out of respect for the process and the systems that have preceded me, I am not going to engage in this fight. Whatever bone that is that he has in his body does not exist in a lot of people's bodies that are in charge right now. I'll say that.
Anything else you want to add?
No, you know, I think it's good for people to be. I was speaking with a guy from Verified Voting, which is a voting rights group, last week or so for a recent story that I wrote about a lot of this stuff. And he said something that I think is important for people to recognize, which is just, you know, he said, I hate to say this, but whatever outrageous thing you can think of as far as like voter suppression goes, like, don't think that everything is just going to automatically work out. You know, he basically was saying, be prepared to stand up and protest for your right to vote. And I would say, especially from the perspective of my reporting, which has been focused on state and local election officials, go to your local election board meeting. If you have a state election board, you know, watch those meetings, you know, get involved in the process, because what has been happening over the last 5 years is that the election denial movement has gotten very, very involved in the process. And Democrats have largely kind of gotten, you know, caught on the sidelines of that, you know, so it's just like, hey, I don't know what Machiavelli said about this, but the more people who are involved in our democracy, probably the stronger it is, right? You know, so get involved.
I remember there was a Republican or a conservative strategy meeting after Goldwater lost the election in 64, and one of the Republican strategists was saying, you know, some people want everyone to vote. They are good government types. We don't want everyone to vote. We want just a few people to vote.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, this goes back a long way. Like, we are not fighting a new battle here, right?
Yeah.
This pendulum between the hippies and the anti-war movement and then the reactionaryism of Nixon. I mean, like, this has been going on for a lot longer than you and I have been around. You know what I'm saying? So this is just kind of the latest iteration of all of this.
That's independent journalist Justin Glau speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on March 10th, 2026.